Yeah. You're checking out the Slam Magazine Respect the Game podcast. You heard it first from your boy, Jay.
All right, what's good, world? It's your boy, Pete Walsh, a.k.a. Lamborghini Petey. Back again, episode 42, the Von Wafer episode of the Respect the Game podcast.
Wow.
Out here looking wild fatigued, fresh off a five-day trip to New Orleans. I felt like it was about 4 years.
Woo.
And I got my man, Abe Schwadron, with me, per usual.
A.k.a. Abraham Lincoln Bio, a.k.a. one half of the fatigued boys this morning. Yo, I don't know about you, Peter, but I went straight home from the airport and just knocked.
Done. I was so goddamn
tired,
man.
Saw my bed. That's what happens when you get one of the first flights out on that Monday morning from All-Star Weekend.
I must say, like, so you and I spent way too much time together over the last 4 or 5 days.
I can't believe I have to look at you again.
But to be honest, I'm not even mad hanging out with you right now. Usually I'd be so disgusted. Like, I'd be like, I don't want to look at this person for at least a week or two. But, nah, I mean, so we just had a really just mad fun. A lot of work, but just so much fun running around New Orleans. So, you know, this podcast, you know, we got a lot to do with this pod. We got a bunch of interviews we did down there, including Billy Preston, who's going to Kansas next year, who we got for a few minutes, Devin Booker, Dwayne Wade. So, you know, we're just going to get right into these things. You know, it's probably going to be a little jumbled, but that was kind of how the whole weekend was.
Yeah, I mean, consider this kind of our running diary from 2017 NBA All-Star Weekend, which, I mean, we could probably do like a six-hour-long podcast if we did every down to every single detail, walk you through everything that happened, even on just the first day alone.
Yes.
So we're going to do our best to kind of whittle it down to some of the best stuff that we saw. But, I mean, some of the ones that we should – maybe we should just rattle off some of the people we saw.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing about All-Star Weekend. You could literally be in your hotel, just get in the elevator to go downstairs, door closes, and you're standing next to fill in the blank of – rapper, NBA player, celebrity, just standing there next to you in an elevator. This could happen when you're crossing the street. Could happen when you go to the bathroom at a bar. Like, anywhere. You could see any number. And the thing is, like, there's so many celebs and NBA players walking around that it's nobody's even really running up on them. We ate lunch basically right next to Gordon Hayward
and
on
his
Sunday.
Entire family.
And his whole family. And I think only maybe one fan noticed that he was even sitting there, like, he was basically sitting like right outside of a restaurant. Mad people walking by. Only one kid really stopped and like pulled out his Snapchat and freaked out a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, just I was trying to keep a running list of people on my phone that we would randomly see or bump into. Some of these names don't sound great, but like in the moment they were hilarious. Like Trevor Booker, we just saw in New York going to down to our connecting flight in Charlotte. And then we see him, like, 7 hours later sipping on a Hurricane at a bar, just talking by himself with one of his boys in an empty bar as we walked by.
Bourbon Street.
Yeah, we saw Grant Hill at the Jordan event, Slim Jimmy at the Jordan event from Ray Swemmer. Yeah. Tim Legler getting off the elevator at the hotel. Static Selecta wandering the streets. We saw Ja Okafor wandering the streets. Alvin Gentry was sitting behind us at a high school game we went to. Vlade Divac, DJ Envy.
This is the thing. Like, you kind of just whirl. You kind of just like turn around. You're like, wait a minute. Is that?
Yeah.
Is that?
Yo, is that the bro?
Is that the bro? And then you're like, wait, it really is. Just Alvin Gentry just pulled up, like, not for nothing. Just like no one really
like,
talking.
Total
to
anonymous.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing.
So that was dope. We saw Joey Crawford at the hotel bar having drinks, sitting across from us.
All of the D League All Stars in the same hotel as us.
We literally saw Quinn Cook more than anyone the entire weekend. We saw him a good 10 times, either at a party, at a game, at the hotel, at the bar. Like, literally, we could not turn a corner without seeing Quinn Cook.
It was almost like Quinn Cook was following us or had the same itinerary as us.
Which was, like, kind of fire for us, I feel like, we were at the same spot as him constantly.
Hell yeah.
And then, like, after the DeMarcus Cousins trade goes down, there's a report that he might, you know, be getting signed to the Pelicans or they might take a look at him. It's like, of course. Why wouldn't he?
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, that's just a handful of guys we saw. On Thursday, we got off the plane, went straight to this Jordan event. They had a really dope space. on Chartres Street, I think it was.
Chartres, I think, is the proper Street. French pronunciation.
So we got some dope gear from Jordan. They hooked us up, and then they bust us out to, like, somewhere I'd never thought I would be. It was 6th Ward of New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Took us to St. Augustine High School. You know, we caught 2 games. The first was St. Augustine versus Crescent City, and then we got to see Oak Hill versus Scotlandville. And Oak Hill is just so impressive, man. Like, just ridiculous. It's amazing that one high school team can have that much talent. They're not even the number one team in the country, which is crazy.
No, they're unbelievable. Like, they ran that team out of the gym. And, yeah. You know, I'm pretty sure Jordan, you know, they wanted to bring in one of the better teams in the area in Louisiana, and that was the best they could bring, and they got their doors blown off by Oak Hill. Oak Hill just splashing threes, run out dunks. Like, they were incredible. To see that up close, you know, we had a nice courtside seat. Thank you to Jordan Brand.
Yeah.
To see that up close was pretty amazing. And I think on top of that, the Jordan Brand, this Jordan Brand Invitational, that this is really the second year that Jordan has, you know, made this little high school mini tournament happen. You know, last year's was great in Toronto, but this year's was incredible because they actually took it to a local, real high school with real fans in the stands. The atmosphere was incredible. The band playing, like, timeouts and in between games, the DJ was playing. Yeah. The crowd was hype as hell. Like, it was just a great time. I think this little mini space that Jordan has carved out for itself and the brand and the high school guys on this Thursday night leading into All-Star Weekend is awesome. I can't wait to see, you know, how they keep doing this, because this was one of the highlights of the weekend for me.
For sure. And I think you hit it on the head, because there were multiple times where we were like, yo, honestly, we went to all these events, but that was the dopest. Because, you know, we'll go to some events and, like, things just kind of feel forced and a little stuffy. Whereas, you know, Jordan was like, you know, let's just go to a really, you know, we're not going to, like, build out a gym. We're just going to go to a high school. Mm-hmm. We're going to let all the kids in, and then we'll worry about media and all that. So they just had people who really generally wanted to be there. And, like,
yep, including Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Frank Kaminsky, Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
You know, you get some NBA guys in the building, it gets a little extra excitement too.
Yeah. And then, as you say, like, the DJ just, you know, would play during the interludes, and the crowd literally went insane every single time. And, like, we heard so many songs that we were just completely blind to. And then, you know, shouts to Day Day for providing the soundtrack for the weekend. But, yo, so after the game, we went to, you know, like, basically the cafeteria of the school.
Yeah.
Sat down with Billy Pressing, the top 15 recruit in this year's class. He's going to Kansas next year.
Yeah.
Likely be in the NBA within, I don't know, what, like 18 months or something?
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. Like, you know, every year we go to the Jordan Brand Classic, it's the same thing. Like, within, you know, 16, 17, 18 months, these dudes are going to be number, you know, first-round draft picks. So pretty cool to be able to sit down with him. Although he didn't play in the game, you know, nursing an injury. But
he said he hurt himself trying to dunk during warm-ups of a game pretty recently. But super nice kid.
Dude, he has a great personality.
Yeah.
You know, you guys will, you know, you'll hear in a moment, but I think you guys will love him.
Yeah, so we talked to him about they just beat Chino Hills. Oak Hill just beat Chino Hills, snapped their 60-game win streak. So we talked to him about that game. We talked to him about LaMelo Ball dropping 92. Talked to him about going to Kansas next year, what he's looking forward to, and, you know, had he been in the dunk contest, what he would have pulled off. So here's the Billy Preston interview, and we'll be back right after this. Here with Billy Preston from Oak Hill. Oak Hill just cracked Scotlandville, 81-67. Billy, was good, man. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Injured, hurt my groin, you know, 3 days ago, pulled it, trying to, you know, dunk on somebody in Jersey when we were playing out there. But, you know, I'm glad we got to come out here and our team, you know, Oak Hill got the win over Javonte Smart's team. So, you know, we finna go enjoy ourselves. We out here for 3 more days.
So what part of All-Star Week are you looking most forward to?
The dunk contest. My boy D. Jones, you know, has entered it, so I got my money on him. I got my money on him for sure. And the game, you know, the All-Star game.
Wait, so Derrick Jones is your boy? You got to give us the backstory there.
Oh, yeah. D. Jones is my guy. I met him, you know, at a couple camps. And, you know, I played against him at a couple camps. And, I mean, it's like the generation now, or the era now, it's like everybody knows everybody. And then especially in the basketball world, you know, you just meet different people at different camps, you know, different states. So You know, I kind of know a little bit of everybody, but, you know, D. Jones is my guy. I met him when I went to on my UNLV visit my sophomore year. So, you know, that's the story behind that.
So, if you were in the dunk contest, what would you pull out? Would you do props or would you just do like 360? What would your plan be?
I don't think I could pull no props off. But I'd probably get in my bag and, you know, pull out a little lob between the legs, off the backboard windmill, 360s. You know, I'm kind of bouncy when I want to be, but I don't think I'm a dunk contest dunker. I think I'm an in game dunker.
Well, you saying that, me sitting here at 28 years old, makes me so envious of you being able to do all that.
I definitely can pull everything I just said off in the game on a break, for sure. All
right, so we're here at the Jordan Brand Invitational, second one they've done. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like, the atmosphere is kind of different than your run-of-the-mill game. I mean, you guys play a national schedule, so you know, you're in situations like this, but what was special about this one, just sitting there on the bench and watching your team?
You're absolutely right about, you know, since we play, you know, at a lot of places, we see situations like this. But I think this one was just different because it was hosted by Jordan Brand. And, you know, they had it set up to where it was like, you know, it was like a club, like a party, like warm-ups. You had music playing, and especially these New Orleans folks, like, they rowdy in the stands, dancing in the stands. You know, you walking on the warm-ups, it's just people yelling your name and kids dancing on the sideline. And you thinking, like, where am I? Like, am I at a club or am I at a game? Like, but, you know, that's what's special about it. And then after the game, you come and you get interviewed. You get to sit at the table, you know, talk at the mic, you know, in front of all the interviewers. So I think, you know, we played out a lot of packed games, but I think, you know, this one stood out a lot.
Yeah, I mean, Oak Hill, you guys are known as a perennial top team every year. And, you know, you made a lot of news probably the last, like, 10 days or so because you guys knocked off Chino Hills. Mm-hmm. You know, what was that game like? What was it like going out there playing at Chino?
It was back home for me. It was a great experience for me. Family was there, family, friends. The game was packed. And we knew we had to come out and play hard. We knew their two best players, LaMelo and LiAngelo, you know, were going to, you know, come out and do what they do. You know, we watched film on them. We watched their highlights. And, you know, at the beginning of the game, you know, they started off strong. We felt like we were in the highlight. So, you know, we had to bounce back and get right, you know, second quarter to the end of the game. And, you know, that's what we did. But, you know, we kind of deceased that number one team in the country title they have, because we definitely weren't going to let them hit that 61 game win streak for sure. So, I mean, I think it's a big accomplishment for us.
Well, as long as we're on the subject, you guys, you know, go in and have that game against them. Mm-hmm. Then you see LaMelo score 92. What was, like, the team's reaction in your locker room when you saw that?
Honestly, we were like, wow. Like, he just scored 92 in a game. Like, what is going on? And he's only a sophomore. So we were all, you know, ecstatic about it. Like just surprised. Like, he just scored 92 in a game. Like, and he's a sophomore. Who does that? Like, who's doing that right now? And then we look at the highlights, and then we're like, I mean, 92 is 92. I'm not knocking him. And it's like, well, he didn't really get back on defense. You know, our coach is like, oh, he didn't really get back on defense. He just scored the ball and stayed, you know, right at his basket. And I'm like, I mean, and he did, but 92 is 92. You don't really. That doesn't come often. So, yeah. You know, for him to do that, it had me going crazy.
Yeah. So I know your phone's ringing. It's probably Coach trying to get you on the bus, get you out of here. One last thing, you know, at the press conference, you were talking about just the Big 12 being crazy next year with you, your teammate Matt Coleman going to Texas, you going to Kansas. Yeah. Trey Young going to Oklahoma. So, you know, what are you looking forward to most about going to the Big 12 next year?
Playing against all my peers and hopefully, you know, winning against them too. You know, we got, me, Matt, Lindell. He going to Iowa State. He playing in Big 12 next year. Matt, Texas, Big 12. Me, Kansas, Big 12. So, you know, just being, you know, as competitive as we are now, you know, being even more competitive against each other next year when we actually got to play against each other is going to be crazy.
Yeah. All right, brother. I appreciate it, man.
Sure.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right, so that was Billy Preston. Once again, super good kid. Definitely pulling for him going forward. So after that, you know, we hopped out back on the bus, went back down into – oh, no, we didn't even have the bus. We got pulled up on by the Uber driver who asked us if we were in a fraternity.
Yeah, it looked like you had a nice conversation with him on the way home too.
Yo, I got to say, the people in New Orleans were super nice. I was just trying to ask – he grew up right around – the high school we were at. So I was just asking about the area and you know, what it's like growing up there and all that. But super nice guy.
Yeah, I was in the back seat having a deep NBA landscape convo with Russ Bankston. So.
Oh, the god himself. Yo, yeah. Shout out to Russ, man. Spent a lot of time. This was the first time I was really formally was introduced and got to hang out with him outside of Twitter. So was really, really enjoyed spending time with him. Super cool guy, obviously, and you know, just great catching up with him and shooting the shit. But yeah, anyway,
man, Russ is the man.
Speaking of Russ, he privied us to a Jeezy concert that was going on while we were having drinks at the bar. So, you know, we were like mid beer, and then Russ texts Abe, "Yo, Jeezy's about to come on stage at the Jordan." So we ran over there, walked in,
flashed the credentials,
ran
past Quinn Cook,
literally, who was waiting online. We just waltzed our way right in. Then we walked in and he was doing go crazy. Abe and I lost our collective minds for like 20 minutes. You know, went out, met up with Figment for the first time, hit Bourbon Street, you know, didn't really get too nutty, but definitely got back to the hotel late, you know, got about like 4 hours of sleep, and then we hit
which is a lot for All-Star Weekend, actually, as it happens. Whether you're out late, whether you're working, or whether you're just enjoying All-Star Weekend for the rest of its benefits, the sleep is at a premium. So, you know, we locked in that nice four and a half hours on the first night, and it was back to the grind in the morning.
Yeah, so then we reconvened. We went to All-Star Media Availability.
I'm pretty sure I forgot to eat breakfast and lunch on this
day. No, you didn't, because your mans went out and got you a muffin in the morning.
Oh, you're right. Did get the clutch text from Pete. Yo, I'm hitting the coffee shop. What you want? I was like, just in my haze, I was like, just grab something, a nosh of some kind for your boy.
So when I travel, I'm like very against eating at the hotel.
I know that. I know that now.
I was trying to, so I got up like half hour early so I could go out and just get coffee and a like a bagel or something.
Worked out in my favor.
Yeah. You know, I was trying to look out for my mans. So then that morning we hopped on the media bus and we went over to the Ritz and went to All-Star Media Availability. And my God, what a shit show this was.
Ooh, I mean, first of all, the setup wasn't as sort of clean as, you know, previous All-Star Weekends. There's a lot of doors to go through, and, you know, you got to figure out where each guy is that you want to talk to. Not to mention the fact that the crowds, the hordes of media are growing in size every year, which, you know, obviously is a good thing for the NBA. You know, keep expanding, you know, the game globally and stuff. It does make for a bit of a mess in a media session, though.
Totally. And, I mean, Abe and I were talking afterwards, like, it's got to be tough for the players. Obviously, it's like a somewhat intimidating space to be in, to have like 40 people right in your face with microphones right there. But add to that, like, you have people from, you know, Japan and Puerto Rico, what have you, who are like, can you say hi to your fans out in Puerto Rico? And then right after that, like, a beat reporter will slide and be like, so what do you think of the Charles Oakley situation going on in New York? So these guys got to be really quick and on their toes. Give them any news, basically.
Right. I mean, beyond the fact that, you know, you have 15 to 20 minimum, and if you're, you know, a more notable name, probably way more than that, people screaming questions at you every time that you finish a sentence or look like you're about to finish a sentence. Yeah, it's like you said. I mean, one minute you're being asked to say hi to your fans in Malaysia, and the next minute, you know, you're being hit with some hard-hitting, deep question about, you know, the implications of the CBA on free agency and stuff like that. And you're probably not sure exactly how these answers are going to get construed. So, you know, got to give credit to the players who are obviously bombarded with media throughout All-Star Weekend.
Yeah. So then after that, we went down back down to downtown New Orleans. We hit a Foot Locker event. Shouts to our people at Foot Locker, always taking care of us. We actually, you know, once again, hopped on the bus, went out to, like, the outskirts of New Orleans, played ball for a few hours.
Went uptown, got on the court.
Which is very, very cool. So if you notice, our social media accounts were completely dark for, like, 2.5 hours on Friday. And that's because we were hooping for a little bit.
That is another nice thing about All-Star Weekend, though. You get to slide in the basketball runs here and there, which, you know, obviously do come with some gear as well. Yeah. So shout out to everyone at Foot Locker for the invite there.
Got to see Ben Osborne, which is always a pleasure.
Yeah. Got to see him on the court.
Yeah. Spent some quality time with him, which is awesome. So then we got back, went back to the hotel, showered up, got ready. And then, you know, we went down to check out this art gallery where we were hosting or semi-hosting an event for this photographer, Rob Hammer, who we featured in the All-Star issue. And it was cool. He had a bunch of very, very, very dope photographs up on the wall that he took and you know, he rented out this space. He was doing a show for the people in New Orleans. And, you know, it had a pretty good turnout. NBA TV was on hand. They did a nice little segment on it. So look out for that. I'm gonna try and get that to post on the site as well.
Yeah, shout out to our people from the Boyd Art Gallery down there, Boyd Satellite Gallery. Yeah. Very friendly people.
And then, you know, shout out to Mike from Hoop Japan, who came up and told us he was a big fan of the podcast. So we definitely appreciate that. And thank you for listening. And everybody else out there, thank you for listening. And then after that, we went over to the Smoothie King. Right, this was not
Smoothie
the Smoothie
King. Yeah, well, the first Smoothie of all, it's pouring rain
outside. Yeah, pouring. Pissing
absolutely
rain.
Pouring.
I walked like 25 minutes in the rain earlier that day. Like, didn't even bat an eye at it.
Man.
So we went over to the Smoothie King Center. You know, caught up, went out, checked out the Rising Stars game. Honestly, like, I don't even really remember being there, anything that happened in the game.
I do remember that we did remark that they had actually, like, really fire jerseys for one of the first times in a
good
while.
Call.
The Rising Star jerseys were dope.
Yeah, very, very, very cool World vs. USA jerseys. But one player who was in that was Devin Booker. And then the following day, we went out to the Mountain Dew space.
Courtside HQ.
Yeah, which I butchered during the interview, so I apologize to Mountain Dew if you're listening.
Mountain
to this.
Dew, Courtside HQ, very nice space.
Yeah.
They did something with the Madbury Club. They had the little virtual reality painting set up. It had like a 50-foot wall that people could play 2K on. It was in a nice little space there in New Orleans Board of Trade, which is a cool little spot.
Yeah, but for me, like, when I was prepping the intro, and you're about to hear it very shortly, because we got a couple of minutes with Devin Booker, I was trying so hard to remember where it was, but I felt like almost like it was like almost comparable to like a rapper being on tour and forgetting what city's in and shouting out the wrong city when he gets there, because I was just all over the place, or you and I were all over the place for like the last 36 hours. I was running on like little to no sleep. So, and I was also super distracted by Devin Booker's sunglasses.
Keep in mind when you're listening to this interview, Devin Booker gotta already be one of the coolest, like, smoothest cats in the league, because he was wearing the green Nike tech fleece suit.
No, like jungle green, like head to toe.
Like the jungle green Nike tech fleece sweatsuit and a pair of like pretty large black sunglasses that he kept on the entire time.
And all I could think
was, chewing gum, I'm pretty sure.
And all I could think was, can he see anything right now? Because we were sitting inside like an already dark room.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, you try to make eye contact, make a little connection with someone, and that was hard to do. But then it just reminded me, this dude is already a superstar at, you know,
I think
being
he's
the
20
second,
maybe?
Yeah, being his second year in the league, 20 years old. I mean, that's kind of amazing too. You think about some of the other guys who played in the Rising Stars. I mean, Malcolm Brogdon is like 23 years old. Devin Booker in his second year is 20.
Yeah,
and already one of the best players in that game. Probably has his eyes on, you know, playing in the real game, which is something we asked him about, if you'll hear in a minute.
Yeah, so I was wild flustered at the beginning, but, you know, I tweeted my way through it, and, you know, I think it turned out pretty solid. So, you know, here's our interview with Devin Booker.
All right. I'm here with my boy Abe Schwadron out here at the Mountain Dew NBA HQ, right? That's what it's called, Courtside HQ, excuse me. Out here with Devin Booker. Devin, thank you for joining us. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
So, every NBA player gets asked what they're going to eat in New Orleans when they come down. And the standard answer thus far has been gumbo. Have you ever had gumbo?
I have. I spent a lot of time in Mississippi my high school year. So, I've spent a lot of time in Louisiana, Mississippi. So, gumbo, jambalaya, everything. The New Orleans culture, I'm familiar with it.
Yeah.
And obviously, so we're here at, you know, the Mountain Dew space. You're going to get a chance to kind of touch the fans and stuff. Is that one of the best parts of All-Star Weekend, is kind of interacting with all your fans?
Yeah, man. It's a great experience. I got the experience of last year in Toronto and, you know, just interacting with people, especially down here in New Orleans. Like I said, I'm from Mississippi, so I'm familiar with the culture around here. I know a lot of people down here. So spending time around here, man, it's just a great time for us.
Yeah, you know, there's such a great Kentucky connection, and you know, you saw Jamal Murray go off last night. You know, what was that, a cool thing to watch for you?
Yeah, it was. Obviously, wanted to win, but at the same time, man, you just want to see talent. That's what the Rising Star game is about. So all of us, I feel like, are the future of the league. We're all competitive, and, you know, we're trying to make it to that next level. So Jamal played well last night. He got hot, and, you know, I've seen him before. Obviously, watched him at Kentucky, and, you know, I know he was capable of that. It was a good time.
Now, obviously, you know, we're here at All-Star Weekend. It's cool for you to be here and be in that game, but I'm sure in the back of your mind you're thinking, you know, you want to be here for Sunday at some point. So what's that kind of feeling like? You know, you're around it, but you're not in the game.
I mean, that's the ultimate goal, just being around these guys that have actually been in the Rising Star game before. I remember watching Kyrie in this, all those guys. LeBron was in it. So just watching these guys progress through the league, you know, I feel like I'm on the same path, and, you know, I want to make it to that next level.
So what about also, you know, beyond the court, like just kind of watching how those guys move at an All-Star weekend? You know, obviously there's a lot going on. You know, you're here in a million other places. How have you kind of learned, like, how those guys kind of move through these situations?
You know, I learned at All-Star weekend last year, you know, I'm like a sponge to everything. You know, I try to soak it in, learn from everybody. So just the way they move, the people they're with, how they interact, you know, I'm watching everything. It's like I said, you know, I'm trying to be on that next level like they are. I know they've been through the process, and, you know, I'm trying to go through that same process.
So we're out here in New Orleans. Have you hit Bourbon Street yet?
I haven't hit Bourbon Street, but I've been there many times. Like I said, I'm from Mississippi, so I've been here during the Mardi Gras parades, everything. So I've seen it all.
So what's the wildest thing you've seen when you come to New Orleans?
Bourbon Street. That's what we were just talking about. I remember I came here New Year's before, and Bourbon Street was so packed. I mean, you know how it is. People running around nude, beads being thrown everywhere, people smoking and drinking on the streets. It's an unbelievable place, but the culture in New Orleans is what makes it so special. So if you've been here before, you understand the culture.
Let's talk real quick, you know, about your season. You know, it kind of seems like you've been getting in a little bit of a groove this year, and people really starting, you know, to notice the things that you're doing. So how much more comfortable are you feeling now, and where do you feel like you're at, you know, just progressing next year in your career?
Man, I'm just trying to get better each and every day. I mean, this league's tough, so every day you got to bring it, and that's what I try to do. I mean, even though we're not winning, you know, I try to bring it to the next level each and every night. Obviously, I want to get to that point where we're winning. Me and Eric in the backcourt has just been talking about, you know, once we start winning, I feel like that's where we're going to get the recognition that we deserve.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of winning, you won so many games, you know, your 1 year at Kentucky. Was that a tough transition for you to you know, not win as many games with the Suns?
It's tough, but you understand once you get to the NBA, there's no off nights, and, you know, this is the best talent in the world. And it's unbelievable. It's something that you have to experience. You know, you grow up, everybody grows up being a winner, being the best team, and best player on their high school team, their college teams, and you get to the NBA and everybody was that player. So it's the best competition in the world. And, you know, I mean, I think the struggle right now is going to make it better for the future.
And I know we got to get you out of here, but just a couple more. You know, obviously on that note, you know, we're coming up on the trade deadline, and obviously you should feel safe. But there's always talks about, like, you know, certain guys on the team get, you know, just random, even dumb tweets from fans and stuff about certain people maybe in rumors and stuff. How do you deal with that, you know, looking around the locker room when guys, you know, they might be going through their timeline, here's a tweet about, you know, so-and-so getting traded?
You just have to live in the moment. I remember last year, you know, I think we had the most 10-day contracts in the history of the league. So, I mean, you learn the business side of the NBA. You meet so many people. Markieff Morris, one of my better vets, he got traded, and it's tough. But at the same time, you never know what can happen. We can't control it, so, you know, they say control the controllables, and that's what we try to do. Just live in the moment, get better each and every day.
Cool. And then, you know, last one. 2 years ago, you came through to the Slam Draft Suite with D'Angelo Russell, and, like, you two just seemed like you were getting super tight, super cool. Have you maintained that relationship in the NBA?
Yeah, I was actually just with him last night. We're signed under the same agent. We've been close friends since, like, 8th and 9th grade, so keep in contact during the season. I mean, that's a relationship. That's the beauty of basketball. You develop relationships that last a lifetime. So it's bigger than basketball with us.
Cool. All right, Devin, you know you got to run. We appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much.
No, thanks for having me.
All right.
All right, so that was our sit down with Devin Booker.
Did you like the part where I told him that, you know, he's probably safe at the trade deadline?
Yeah, you never know, man. You never know.
He audibly like laughed pretty hard.
Yeah, he snickered at you, which is pretty hilarious. But so after the D-Book interview, we went and checked out the Uncle Drew space. Met two of the nicest PR people of all time.
Unbelievable.
Whose names I'm completely forgetting, but I have their cards somewhere, so
they
I'm sure we'll
they
be
are.
In touch.
They know who they are.
We got some very, very dope sweatshirts as well, which we were both very happy about.
Yeah, I mean, you come back from All-Star Weekend with a lot of gear typically, and I have to say maybe the most fire thing we got was the Kyrie Irving hoodie from that Uncle Drew event. Or not Kyrie, the Uncle Drew hoodie, I guess.
Yeah, Abe and I were rocking it on the plane together yesterday, looking like a broke AAU team out here.
Looking like AAU dads, probably.
Yeah. Oh my God, you're so right.
Nah, but, and we also at the Uncle Drew space got to, you know, briefly say what's up to friend of the podcast, George Gervin, who was in the building. You know, he does some work with Pepsi as well in the Uncle Drew spot. So that was fun, man. Even got to leave the building with, you know, not only a Pepsi in a can, but a fresh fountain drink version of Pepsi with full ice, Uncle Drew cup.
Did you take that cup home or you left it at the hotel?
I left it. Wow, I just couldn't rationalize bringing a plastic cup home.
Yeah, especially if you're leaving sneakers there. It's like,
you know, on the list of priorities, the plastic cup. That being said, that was one of the more refreshing, you know.
Yeah, we both slugged a Pepsi as soon as we got there.
One of the more refreshing cups of Pepsi I've ever had in my entire life.
I haven't had a soda in like 2 years, and as soon as they handed me a Pepsi, I gulped it down in about two sips.
It's the thing, man. You forget to eat and hydrate when you're at All-Star Weekend, so all of a sudden you're presented like a delicious
fountain
drink.
That's actually so true, because as you were talking to Gervin, I was in the back like just housing a gumbo thing they handed me. Just going in.
You forget, man. Someone hands you a crispy Pepsi and some food. You're like, wait a minute. I'm about to go to town.
So then after that, Abe and I went our separate ways.
Sadly.
Yeah. It was really a devastating moment. And Abe, you went and met up with Cameron, banged out an interview with them. So how was that, man?
Yeah, man. So Reebok was hosting a little space. Actually, it was on Bourbon Street. I didn't even realize it was on Bourbon Street, you know, in the middle of Saturday in New Orleans.
During the beginning of Mardi Gras.
I'm just kind of having my head down. I'm looking at my Google Maps like, I take a right turn right here. Okay. I turn right. I realize I'm on Bourbon Street and I have to go 8 more blocks into Bourbon Street.
Jesus.
I'm like, oh my God. You know, walking down Bourbon Street, there's just absolute insanity, just drunk as hell, people everywhere. Yeah. You know, everything you can imagine about Bourbon Street is happening on Saturday afternoon. So pull up to the Reebok space that they had with Foot Action. Currency's in the building. Tiana Taylor, Cameron, two-thirds of the entire sneaker media that you guys may know and respect were there. You know, everyone from Nice Kicks, Soul Collector, on down the line. So, yeah, got a couple minutes to chop it up with Cam. You know, obviously we've gone to great depths about Cameron's, you know, high school basketball career in New York. Adam Figman wrote a pretty nice piece not too long ago in Slam Magazine about, you know, Cam's prowess as a baller around here, so that's pretty well known. Basically, I just wanted to ask him, well, first of all, getting to meet Cameron, you know, in person.
I mean, that takes precedent over everything else.
Yeah, man. I mean, again, All-Star Weekend, these are the types of dreams that come true. Like, I texted my boys from D.C., that are huge, huge Cameron fans. They just couldn't even believe that I was being able to meet him, let alone spend 5 minutes to chop it up with him. So that was a pretty big highlight for me. Now, I wanted to ask him about, you know, All-Star Weekend memories. Like, what's the craziest stuff that he's seen? Maybe he's seen an NBA player in the club with his shirt off or popping mad bottles. I don't think he really wanted to out anyone or even tell the stories anonymously, and he told me that now that he has a girlfriend, he can't really tell all of his favorite stories.
Oh, shout out to Juju.
So, yeah, I mean, I did get, you know, some good stuff, which, you know, the audio quality wasn't tip-top enough to share with you guys here on the pod, but look out for that pretty soon online. But, yeah, I mean, you know, and then he did a performance sort of in the courtyard there with Reebok, which was dope as well. So shout out to Reebok for having us come through. Meeting Cameron was definitely a highlight of the weekend.
Word. And so while Abe was doing that, I went over to the D&G His and Hers Fancy Pop-Up Experience powered by Fancy.com.
Wow, you absolutely nailed the plug. I have it right here. Oh, that was a lot better than the Devin Booker one.
Big facts. And the D&G stood for Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union. So, you know, I don't really dress that well to begin with. And
whoa.
To say,
and you dress like an editor.
Yeah. Not
that's
well.
Someone who doesn't leave the office. Yeah.
So when your man's pulled up to the fancy.com event, I was looking haggard out here.
Well, you knew once you saw it was fancy.com, you already knew this was going
to
happen.
Yeah. So, but, you know, was fortunate enough to get a few minutes with Dwayne Wade, waited around for him to come through. He showed up fashionably late, as these celebs are known to do. But, you know, got to meet Dave Schilling, who's a super talented writer over at Bleacher Report, formerly Grantland. Chatted up with him for a bit. Really nice guy.
He's not related to Kurt Schilling, is he?
No, he was definitely not related to Kurt Schilling. But he was cool, so it was good, you know, just to get out there and politic a little bit. But yeah, you know, sat down with Dwayne for 5 minutes in like the back of a hotel bar, which was kind of crazy.
I mean, 5 minutes with Dwayne Wade, that's a valuable little time right there. I mean, 5 minutes with Dwayne Wade is like 2 hours with anyone from the Rising Stars game.
And like, for whatever reason, I was so flustered sitting with Devin Booker, but with D Wade, I felt like totally comfortable. It's kind of weird.
That's good.
So, got a couple minutes with him.
I mean, that's a testament to Dwayne Wade, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, he was like, he's just a total pro. So, you know, he, you know, flew through this 5 minute interview. So that was cool. So, you know, I guess here's our interview my interview with Dwayne Wade.
All right, I'm out here in New Orleans at the D&G His and Hers Fancy Pop-Up Experience, powered by Fancy.com.
All names in it.
Yeah, fortunate enough to be joined by Dwayne Wade. Dwayne, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. I'm out here All-Star Weekend, and, you know, I don't have the pressure of worrying about having to play and perform. I'm just out here to have fun, but, you know, doing some cool things business-wise. And today it's cool to be here with my wife and to be able to kind of, you know, open the doors to some of the things we've done behind the scenes and some that's been out there with our business and stuff like that. So this pop-up store for me is so cool to be at.
Yeah, and you know, is it weird being down here and not knowing you're not playing in the All-Star game?
No, if I was a bitter person and really, you know, and it really felt like I was snubbed and all that, like, I'm fine, man. I'm 35. I've been to 12 All-Star games, and if the rules were the same as they was, I would be in another one. You know, my fans voted for me to be here, so if my ego needed that pat, then I got that. But outside of that, no, man. To me, I'm okay with it. You know, I wanted some time away. When I'm here for one day, I'm doing some cool things while I'm here, and I'm gonna get up out of here and go get some sun. So I'm actually happy, and happy for all the people who get their first opportunities and, you know, second, third opportunities to be in it, because I had those times. But out of the 12 All-Star games, you know, I'm okay.
Yeah. So I was over at the media availability today, and it's such a madhouse. And I was thinking about it from the player's perspective, like, how do you balance doing, like, say hello to your fans in Japan with, you know, maybe dealing with, like, trade rumors or a big story? Like, how do you balance that? I feel like you have to think so quickly in that situation.
Well, unfortunately, I've never been in those situations, you know, any trade rumors at this point in my career. But, you know, what I always tell guys is, you know, you can't control it. Don't worry about it. Don't let it drag you down. You know, at the end of the day, no matter what happens, You're living your dream out. You're playing in the NBA. Man, we're making great money doing it. You know, and you're having fun playing the game. So no matter what city you're playing in, it's still a game of basketball that you grew up loving. And don't stress yourself and don't worry about it, man. Just come and enjoy it. You know, All-Star game, you know, enjoy what you can enjoy out of it. And, one day you'll look back at it and it'll be something that, you know, you will talk about, something you remember. And just make it a cool experience.
Yeah, and then, you know, Jimmy Butler is an All-Star this year. What's it like? Yeah, that's your guy. What's it like been playing with him this year?
I love it, man. You know, it's been great, you know, kind of being, you know, kind of a mentor to Jimmy, but being a friend to him, listening to him when needed to, giving him advice when needed to, being in the gym working with him when we both need to, and, you know, us seeing each other work and getting motivated about that. And, you know, and just, you know, the ups and downs of the season, it drives you. You know, I'm looking at him and I see how much it drives him. I see how much he don't sleep certain nights because of the loss. Like, I love that. You know, I love to see that in a younger player coming up, especially a guy who went to Marquette like I did, especially a guy who was unknown coming in and worked his way to where he is. So It's been cool being here with him, man, and experiencing this journey and this ride.
Yeah, and then, you know, LeBron and Melo are like the old heads on the East team this year.
Yeah, they're the old guy.
So, you know, you kind of grew up with those guys in the league. You know, what's it like for you guys to kind of be looking at, like, the younger players coming up now? Like, do you see yourself as, like, role models to them and kind of how to, like, navigate the league?
I don't know, man. You know, the day, you know, it's cool with certain guys. Like, you know, Devin Booker, you know, certain guys would come to me and say, man, you was my favorite player, or, you know, you have inspired me. And, like, that stuff is cool, you know. That the younger players that's coming in is really open about, you know, what they watched us growing up, you know. But, you know, it's great at the same time that the game is so great right now and that we got so many young players that's coming up that's going to be great players in this game. And for me, I look back and I say, I've done a good job. I've done my part. You know, I've motivated, I inspired, and passed wisdom down as much as I can to the next core of guys. And that's all you can ask for in this game.
Yeah, and, you know, players maybe a generation above you or two generations above you kind of trash the players today a little bit. You know, we'll say, you know, you guys don't play as hard, this, that, and the third. Yeah. Like, but when you look at younger players, like, do you have that same attitude? Or, like, you said Jimmy Butler works his ass off, is it?
Yeah.
So do you have that same attitude or not?
No, I can't have that attitude because I don't know what players do. You know, I'm not there with them, so I can't judge them. I don't know how much they work. But also I understand that times change and the game change. You know, it's just a different game. Even when I first got in the league to now, it's a total different ball game. So you got to be able to adjust here too, you know, and adjust here with your eyes. You know, understand that the game is just different. Like, you know, the way I did things is going to be different than the way my kids do things. And I have to still parent them, you know, where they at and what they like to do. I can't parent them the way I was. It's not their life. So, you know, I think my kids make me really see that and understand that. And I never want to be a person that look back and say, oh, they're not me. No, they're not me. My name is Dwayne Wade. They're totally different. And they're going to do things differently in their own way. And as the generations continue to go, that's the way it's going to keep going.
All right, Dwayne, thank you so much for your time, man. Appreciate it.
Nice to meet you.
All right, so that was my interview with Dwayne Wade. So after the D Wade interview, you know, it was All-Star Saturday night. So, you know, we met back up at the Smoothie King Center. You, me, Adam Figman, and Ben Osborne, for that matter, sat with us as well.
Graced us with his presence.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like the general consensus was that the All-Star Saturday night was like kind of a dud. I don't think I'm going to.
I mean, you're skipping ahead. First of all, I housed a couple pieces of pizza. Use my $20 media concession stand money on that. So that was a good start at least.
Yeah, things started well. But you know, we kind of just like we're bouncing around ideas to make it better, or that we think would make it better. I don't know if everyone would agree.
I'm not sure that anybody needs us to recap every single dunk here. So,
no. But I think, I mean, like, if we're going to throw, you know, some suggestions out there, I think, you know, we kind of agree that the Skills Challenge should be, like, way more hyped up.
Skills Challenge is dope.
Yeah, the Skills Challenge is really cool and should definitely, like, maybe be the highlight or the headliner of the night.
I mean, why not just try that? Just switch it up. I mean, all three events can still happen without them being in the exact traditional order that they've always been.
For sure.
And why not? All right, a few things. Why not, first of all, expand the, at least for dunk and skills competition, let's expand, you know, the participants. The dunk contest, there's no excuse for not having at least six or eight guys in the dunk contest. That's for starters. I mean, early 2000s, we had eight guys in it pretty much every year. Mm-hmm. And yes, some of them were duds. Some of them sucked, but
you're going to get at least one very good to excellent person if you have that many
exactly.
people.
Whereas if you have four guys and two guys missed their dunks in the first round, well, now everyone says this is the worst dunk contest ever.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the one thing we really agreed on was just get rid of props, man. It's unless it's DJ Khaled being dunked over, I guess that's acceptable. But
more participants, less props. I don't think this is a hugely. It's not rocket science.
Yeah, I mean, like Aaron Gordon, I definitely like respect his attempt to do something creative and think outside the box. But you're such an amazing dunker as it is. Like you don't need to spruce these things up. Just like Zach LaVine set the example of how to do this. You just go out there, you make it look easy, and then you sit down, basically. I mean, yeah. Like, if you're in the dunk contest, it's you're so much better at dunking. You know, hypothetically, you're so much better at dunking than the other people in the league, and you're definitely better at dunking than anyone sitting in the crowd. So if you're making it look that easy, you shouldn't have to include all these different things to you know, I guess this is the world we live in. This is 2017. This is what the people want. But
yeah, it's going to be on Snapchat.
I feel like less is more in these things.
Yeah, I mean, if Derek Jones had come out there and just dunked from the free throw line, that would have been one of the sickest dunks in a decade.
If he did the dunk that was floating around Twitter last week that he did in the warm-up line, like, he would have gotten all 10s.
Yeah, he did. He did that. What even was that?
Like, I don't even. He did like a 360 between the legs,
but like
reversed.
But like reverse under the legs, and he was wearing a full warm-up suit, including pants.
Just do that. Just do that again.
Yeah, I mean, same goes for Eric Gordon. I mean, notwithstanding the bag that I'm sure he secured for the whole drone thing,
huge.
But
fact.
There's 100% chance he could have thrown himself a better alley-oop than the drone did.
Yeah, totally.
He probably would have done it in one try. I'm pretty sure that he did it in, or at least he put up an Instagram video, I think, after the fact of the drone, like, I'm sure what the drone dunk was supposed to be, and it was pretty dope. But, like, why not just do that yourself?
Or just have Stuff come out and throw the pass.
Yeah, I mean, you're a big Stuff fan.
You're a huge Stuff guy.
You had a big, like, mascot weekend, actually. Yeah. Really, this was like a Ben Osborne corner that you're now, like, pulling up on.
While Abe and Figman were out courtside, like, taking pictures of Beyonce, I went to the back where all the mascots were. I took a selfie with the mascot from the Bugs.
Is that the first selfie you've ever taken?
First willing selfie I've ever taken, yes. Okay. For sure.
I'm not sure what that means, but all right. let's move on quickly.
Nothing to say.
So, anyways, Saturday night.
Yeah.
The skills competition needs 16 guys in it.
Facts.
It goes so fast, and it's now like the coolest thing that, like, or either it needs 16 guys or it's 8, but we got to make that, like, obstacle course a little longer and or more difficult.
You should, like, have to run through the tunnel, go up to a concourse, and, like, do something, like, in one of the wings or something out of the stadium.
Yeah. We can go deeper on the skills challenge.
Hell,
there's something brewing here. It's easily, like, the most fun now because it's a head-to-head thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get Isaiah Thomas and I don't even remember who, or Gordon Hayward, like, shooting, and the ball is going in at, like, the exact same time. It looks like a game of knockout, which, by the way, I wouldn't be against an NBA knockout.
No, either. Not at all.
That would be kind of fire as well.
Versus the mascots or nah?
Oh, see, I like that. Or you play, like, with the mascot.
Speaking of mascot shooting from half court, what about who was it that took the behind-the-head half-court shot and hit it on the very first time?
Wasn't it your man's?
I think it was the dude
Bango?
From the
or
Banger, I think.
Bango?
Yeah. Legend, man. Took one shot behind his back, threw it over his head backwards, and it went swish from half court. So that was definitely a highlight from the night.
The mascots were for sure lit.
They were out here, man.
Yeah,
they were
really
definitely out.
Out
here.
Definitely really, really out.
I got really no comment on the 3-point contest either. I mean, I feel like there's really no way to tweak that at this point. It's kind of, you know. And I think, but that's the thing, like, that's the most simple thing, and it's always usually one of the best.
The 3-point contest to me is very, like, solid.
Yeah. It's definitely better on television than it is seeing live.
I don't want to call it vanilla because that sounds like a diss. But it is very, like, consistent, reliable. You're never going to have – it's never going to reach the heights of a dunk contest that when you have the Aaron Gordon versus Zach LaVine of last year. But, you know, it has its moments.
Yeah, I mean, it went to overtime this year, so.
Yeah, that was tight.
Yeah.
It was a little confusing in the arena. They're not the best at counting up the points, like, on the Jumbotron. So
there was
like,
definitely some shady Jumbotroning this weekend for sure.
But – shouts to Eric Gordon.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why he caught a few boos from the New Orleans crowd.
That was
strange.
That was whack.
Confusing, too, because I don't know. I feel like, why is everyone in the arena a Pelicans fan? That was weird.
So after All-Star Saturday night, we went to – well, we tried to get to Mardi Gras World. We walked around for like 40 minutes.
Yeah, my bad.
All good. Google Maps was letting us down big time. But we eventually made our way there, and that shit was lit.
The Stance Sox party at this point at All-Star Weekend for me has become, you know, the off-the-court highlight always.
Yeah, just totally.
If for nothing else, for the incredible people watching.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look around a room. I mean, I think at one point we turn around and you got Allen Iverson and Charles Oakley playing spades at a table.
With Jonathan Simmons peering over trying to get a look.
Exactly.
Like Jonathan Simmons is all of us, basically.
The layers of people watching go so deep. It's like you got two legends like right there. It's just like the realest moment ever. And then you realize that standing right next to them is another guy who's like one of the coolest, you know, young guys in the league right now.
For sure.
So that the stance party is amazing. I mean, you had a nice little moment there with Dwayne Wade again.
I wouldn't call it nice, but so we were like standing off in the corner having drinks, as we were the most of the night. We weren't doing like too much mingling. Like, this is like kind of the NBA players' getaway, so it's definitely not our space to like be hounding them for shit.
Run up on them.
So, but D Wade was like not in the corner, but just like relaxing, you know, standing waiting to get food. So, you know, I figure, hey, I just spoke to him like not but 4 hours ago. I might as well just go say what up and, you know, see if he remembers me. So I walk over and I was like, yo, Dwayne, really appreciate you having us. Thanks so much, man. And he just looks at me. He's like, yeah, no problem. Like, turns away and starts walking the other way. I was like, damn, that hurt my soul a little bit.
Was that better or worse? Then 5 minutes later, when you took a Snapchat for someone else of Dwayne Wade, Gabby Union
took like literally the worst picture of Gabby Union of all time.
It's not possible. It's not possible.
But yeah, I mean, let's just say my art directing resume flew out the window after taking that photo of those three.
But that party was, I mean, it was almost impossible not to physically bump into a superstar athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, I ordered a drink, I look to my left, Candace Parker's standing right there.
Yeah.
I turned around from getting that drink to come back to you guys. I almost bumped into Gary Sheffield.
Dude, that was the most fire sighting of the night, the Gary Sheffield sighting.
It was amazing.
So random and so great, man. I love that.
I mean, Thon Maker was there.
Yeah.
Alonzo Mourning is there. James
Mello,
Harden, Jimmy Butler.
Klay Thompson.
Quinn Cook.
Yeah, I mean, another great moment was we were standing like all the way across the room and we like saw the profile of two guys and Abe goes, oh, I think that's Jimmy Butler talking to Dwayne Wade. That's so dope. And Figman and I looked a little closer. We were like, dude, that's just Quinn Cook talking to his boy.
It was dark in there, man.
Yeah, we were very drunk at that point, too. So so then we skated out of there, made our way to
Glenn Robinson III was there, too.
Shouts to him.
Talking to pretty much no one.
Yeah.
It was kind of amazing, the anonymity of the slam dunk champion just a few hours later.
Yeah. I mean, even like we were thinking about pulling up on him to say hello, and then we were like, are we sure that's him? So
yeah, I mean, kind of speaks to the slam dunk contest once again, but that's neither here nor there.
So then we skated out of there, went to like some random ass dive bar with two of the worst bartenders of all time who screwed up Figs' food order.
The absolute woats.
Out of a weekend full of woats, they definitely took the crown as the king woats. So then, you know, probably got back to the room like 4 or 5 a.m.
Oh, shout out to you for even remembering what time
that
was.
I remember being wow late. But it was fortunate because we had nothing to do in the morning for the first time. So we all slept in. We got up probably around like, met up around like noon, went and had breakfast, saw Gordon Hayward eating at the same restaurant as we mentioned before.
Sunday is like a catch-up day.
Yeah, because like a lot of people fly out that day. They don't stick around for the game. So like most of the events are over.
Yeah. Good day to remember to check your email.
Yeah.
Maybe post some lingering things on the site.
Get
the site popping a little bit. So yeah, Sunday is like a good catch-up day in the lead-up to the All-Star game.
So yeah, we walked around the city, checked out New Orleans. Super dope city. Saw a lot of really, really cool-looking dogs, which I was super hype about. Popped into the Mitchell and Ness brunch, which was like a great, great setting. Very, very casual, very laid back. Saw Manny Fresh DJ for a few minutes before I got up out of there. And then we went back to the arena for the All-Star game. But
even the walk, the thing about All-Star weekend, like even the walk from one place to another is amazing. I mean, we saw a dude rocking a Bob Lanier throwback jersey, riding a horse.
On
the walk to the arena.
Yeah. I mean, Figs commented that like, the combination of Mardi Gras and All-Star Weekend was like a post-apocalyptic world, which is there's just no rules and everyone's drunk, but there's still NBA basketball, which is, I'm kind of here for that post-apocalyptic world.
Literally just getting from the hotel to the arena, you had to cross the path of multiple parades.
Yeah.
Every single time, no matter what hour, just, if it was 11 p.m. or 8 a.m.
Like, thousands of drunk people everywhere.
Thousands of beads everywhere.
Even when we were in the cab going to the airport yesterday, there were like people just wandering around still at 5 a.m. So just a shit show. But,
a marathon. Yeah. A marathon that, you know, Sunday night was the finish, basically.
Yeah. And, you know, the All-Star game was cool. It had its moments.
Well, yeah. I mean, before the game, I was about 6 feet from Beyonce and Jay-Z, but I mean,
speaking of moments,
I was in the physical presence about 5-6 feet away from both Gabrielle Union and Beyonce within a 24-hour span. So, not really sure it's going to go anywhere up from here for your boy.
It's only down from here, buddy. I'm sorry, but no, it was dope. Like the pregame shenanigans were cool. Like you got to see like Jay-Z dap up Dave Chappelle, you know, all types of. Just Nick Cannon and rocking the turban, like all this random funny ass stuff and random stuff. But you know, the game itself was fine. I honestly don't even really remember what happened in it. I can't.
They almost scored 200 points.
Yeah,
Anthony Davis went ham.
Yeah, set the record. But like
Russell Westbrook doing his thing. They had the little alley-oop moment with KD. That was cool.
Yeah, but I mean, the real story, like Woj really came through and stole the All-Star game with the DeMarcus Cousins trade that was popping off during. I mean, I felt like Woj was like sitting in the Kings like war room or what have you, and just like live tweeting the whole thing.
Well, I mean, the combination of, you know, sort of foreshadowing type Woj tweet sort of in the middle of the game. It was nothing serious yet. It was just like, oh, the Kings have been like in serious talks. And then you look up and you realize, oh, DeMarcus Cousins hasn't really played that much tonight.
Yeah,
and then
2 minutes.
Everyone started to realize that he had only played 2 minutes. Yeah. And you're like, what? Like, what's going on here? And then it starts to get a little more serious. It, you know, the Pelicans and the Kings have had these very, very serious talks. And the crazy thing is, I mean, I would assume that there is a logic to this and a reason for this, that it happened in the way that it did. But, you know, DeMarcus Cousins has his media availability directly after the game, gets asked a bunch of questions about the rumors that are just rumors at this point. Anthony Davis does his, all the similar questions about the rumors that are just rumors at this point. Literally, they both, you know, walk away from their media availability, and within 5 minutes, maybe even 2 minutes of dropping the mic, Woj drops the bomb that this trade is actually happening. So it's literally every single All-Star, including the two guys most involved in this trade, are available to get quotes and get their reaction and see how they're reacting. And then now they're not, and immediately the trade drops. So the timing was pretty crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't really know how much we want to get into it, because like there's just been so much said about the trade already over the last few days. But my takeaway from this whole thing is like
Langston Galloway.
Oh yeah, Lang. I mean, feeling bad that Lang Galloway has to go to the Kings, but happy for him that, you know, he'll probably get some more playing time.
Well, we'll see.
There.
I mean, the talk is he may get waived.
No, they waived Matt Barnes. So,
oh shit, you're
right. Does that take his spot?
Yeah,
I don't
good.
Know. Yeah, seriously, but like, I'm really not here for teams slandering players when they leave. Mm-hmm. And you know, as much as, you know, DeMarcus Cousins had his issues on the court and, you know, with reporters in Sacramento and with front office and teammates or what have you, if you're going to say that character matters and it, character is important, and then, you know, you look at your roster and you have Ty Lawson, who got in trouble for DUIs, Darren Collison, who got in trouble for, you know, a domestic dispute, Matt Barnes, who's been in and out of trouble, and then, you know, DeMarcus Cousins, who off the court, you know, really hasn't done shit outside of the thing in New York this past winter. But it's just like, you know, you saw the video of him that was circulating of him crying, saying goodbye to the people of Sacramento. And like, you know, he's such a pillar in the community for, you know, helping out charities and helping out kids and being a mentor to kids that, you know, I just think like, it's just a bad look for a franchise to go out and do that.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know if that's a take you had, or I just threw you for a loop there.
You didn't throw me for a loop. My sort of reaction was the same, and even to, you know, not to point out specific things, but for example, Howard Beck had a Bleacher Report article.
Mm. Seen that. That the Kings got their franchise back.
Yeah, essentially, you know, big upping the Kings for...
Please.
But it just seems like a very sort of old guy response. Not necessarily Howard Beck, but even though I disagree with him, but more like the sourced quotes that he was using as far as, you know, I don't believe that in a locker room, especially given what we've heard from a lot of the all-stars who are, you know, the best players in the NBA, they have a lot of respect for Boogie, and yeah, they in fact like being around him and just feel that he's gotten screwed in his situation.
Yeah.
And sure, you can point to the win totals if you want to go that route. You can point to the techs if you want to go that route. Dude, the Kings have been absolute ass around DeMarcus Cousins.
Cousins isn't hiring and firing coaches. He's not drafting Jimmer Fredette.
He's not drafting Willie Cauley-Stein, yeah, all due respect. Like, Willie Cauley-Stein, for as nice of a prospect as you want to say, he's played well sometimes when DeMarcus has been out. He hasn't been named to the Rising Stars game in 2 years, yeah, which is not a hard thing to get named to.
No.
Like, there's a lot of undrafted dudes who get named to that. Yeah. Like, no shots, but... You know, that was a like draft that had a lot of good players in it, including Devin Booker.
Yeah.
What are the Kings have no one to blame but themselves for not. They've been trying to do everything they can to build around Boogie and just been really horrible at it.
Yes.
So I'm not sure where beyond like the, you know, okay, would you prefer that he not get as many technical fouls? Duh. No one would want to get a technical foul. I got a technical foul in our Jordan Brand League last week, and actually it felt great.
Yeah.
So I mean, it happens. Like, you're gonna really discredit this dude for getting technical fouls? I just don't understand that.
So, and another thing that was being tossed around in these stories and recaps was like the Kings were the was promising that they were able to beat the Celtics without Cousins pretty recently. But what do you put more stock into, them beating the Celtics on a West Coast swing?
One game?
Or, okay, if it's a, and maybe I should rephrase this. If you're going to put stock into one game, would you put stock into them beating the Celtics who are on a West Coast trip without Cousins? Or them beating the Warriors, like, a week before?
Yeah,
I don't get it. I don't get it. So it's like, you're just reaching for excuses here. Like, all right, things didn't work out. Move on. All you need to do from an organizational standpoint is say, hey, you know, we want to thank DeMarcus for all he's done for the community and for the franchise. You know, we're going in a different direction. And just leave it at that.
Completely.
Yeah.
And I think that the good thing about this entire story is that the egg on the face is going to wind up on the Kings. Like, I think,
hell yes,
DeMarcus is going to, whether it's in New Orleans or whatever his next stop is, he's going to, you know, turn up and be the type of guy on a winning team that we all think he is capable of. And already you've seen with some of the quotes that Vlade's given, like, they have no idea what they're doing.
No idea.
Still.
No idea.
Still no idea what they're doing. And, I mean, it's not only them, too. Like, for me, the big story about coming out of this trade is, like, I'm shocked and appalled that other teams didn't offer more than this.
Yeah.
Like, the Lakers didn't want to give up Brandon Ingram. Are you crazy?
I know.
Are you absolutely crazy, dude?
I know.
Come on.
I mean, it'll be kind of interesting to see how this shakes out the rest of the trade deadline, because, like, the bar's been set pretty low. Like, they basically, yeah, they got Cousins for, like, really nothing.
I mean,
nothing.
Okay, in theory, yes, best case scenario, if everything breaks their way, they could get, you know, two lottery picks, plus you consider Buddy Hield to be a top, what was he, sixth pick, seventh pick last, yeah, year, something like that. So, okay, in your mind, yes, three lottery picks. I'd rather have DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah.
And I'd certainly rather have DeMarcus Cousins than Brandon Ingram.
If you have three lottery picks, you know, you hope that you get a player who's 75% as good as Cousins.
I mean,
and now the Pelicans have two of the top, probably like 10 to 12 players in the league.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, dude,
that's being generous.
Much respect to the Pelicans
for
jumping.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a lot of teams would, for instance, a team like my Wizards would say, well, you know, we don't want to break up, like, you know, what this, like, nice team, a starting five, or, like, you know, if we trade one of our starters, like, oh, we'll have like a hole at this position. Like, the Pelicans have two major holes in their starting lineup, but they don't even care. It doesn't matter. You really get DeMarcus Cousins when you can get DeMarcus Cousins. You figure the rest of this stuff out later.
Exactly. The league, as we've said many times on this pod, the league changes so fast. You never know. You just never know.
And if you got to roll with Etuan Moore and our homie Solomon Hill for a minute.
Solo Hill.
You do it until you figure it out and make other teams adjust to the fact that you have arguably the two biggest big men in the NBA.
Exactly. All right. So, you know, that's our All-Star recap. Big shout out to all the brands that had us out to the events. Big shout out to the NBA for putting on a very, very dope weekend. Shout out to New Orleans for being a great host city.
Yes, always.
Shout out to us for putting in work.
I guess we'll see everyone in LA next year.
Holla. Peace.